when you put these scenes together correctly, it's like, holy cow, this is one big piggy bank on steroids. This is one massive Bankosaurus. And he starts off small, but then he just becomes this huge, fun, loving animal, beast, carrying your money wherever you go for the rest of your life, that's growing income tax free, and is something that provides not only something for you to live a way more enjoyable today and have a way wealthier tomorrow if you handle it all correctly, but then also something that for legacy planning, an incredible gift that you can pass on from generation to generation.
You're listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.
Hi, this is Ken Green, the host of the Engineer of Finance podcast, and I have my great co-host, Tammy Brennan.
Yeah, hi.
So this is, I don't know what episode this is, but there'll be a podcast every week for the rest of my life. And so thank you, Tammy, for agreeing to co-host again.
Absolutely.
It's a lot of fun for me. And who knows what's going to come up each one. But this is just going to be a continuation of the last podcast we did, which is talking about the Bankosaurus.
Yes.
And
I have some questions for you.
Please ask away. This is Bankosaurus round number two. Maybe that'll be the title of the podcast.
On the Bankosaurus. Oh, I can't ask any question I want. It has to be on Bankosaurus. Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, no. It could anything you can ask away.
Wow. That's a lot of power. Okay. So the first one, you talked about there being an opportunity cost in relation to the Bankosaurus. Do you want to explain that?
Yeah, opportunity cost. What was your question about it? Just what opportunity cost means?
Yeah, you had mentioned it, and I apologize. I don't remember exactly everything that you went into or the context of it, but you mentioned the phrase opportunity cost in relation to Bankosaurus. So I was curious, you know, what's the definition? How would you explain an opportunity cost, and then how does that relate to the Bankosaurus?
Yeah, it's a great question. And the best way to answer that one is usually I bust out a calculator, a financial calculator, and I explain it with numbers. And so it'd be interesting to try to do that on a podcast where there's no visual, right? This is all audible. The best way to show it is with the financial calculator. But one of the things that it's tied to, well, I was mentioning how we finance everything in life, which was something that was so stood out to me from Mr. Nash's book. And so there's a lot of great concepts that he has shared in that book. And then you add my thinking, my personality, and the thousands of other concepts of books out there in the financial arena. And I love to say that everything I teach is so unique, which actually, this is the scary part, really is unique in the financial industry. However, it's existed forever. Mm-hmm. It's existed forever. I mean, whole life insurance for over 200 years. All the simple concepts of growing money have existed for thousands of years. Yet it takes someone like me and similar personalities that have to show it a different way, because I would argue that the majority of the financial industry does not exist to make you money. Mm. It exists to make your money.
Right.
Or say a little bit differently, to take your money. And so in regards to opportunity costs, what I was trying to convey is that money has more value today than it does tomorrow. I mean, and hopefully, and I'm not the best speaker, but I hope this makes sense, and I'll find a different way to kind of communicate it differently. But opportunity costs, like we're willing to pay really good interest to mortgage companies and banks to get something today. Mm-hmm. And the banks understand that. And so the opportunity cost, to kind of tie it to opportunity costs, is that if you want to buy a home for, well, good luck here in Reno now, in downtown Reno, but if you wanted to buy a simple home for $250,000, you're willing to, over 30 years on a 4% interest, principal and interest, structure over a 30-year mortgage, you're willing to give $500,000 over those 30 years for $250,000 today.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of ties to opportunity cost, is that the money today is valuable. It's so valuable that the banks know that they give you that 250 today, they're going to make double that back over 30 years. Matter of fact, if you look at on a financial calculator, if you look in the first 7 years of a mortgage and a principal and interest payment, over 70% of what's being paid each month, over 7 years, 70% of what was paid was to interest only.
Wow.
On a mortgage in 7 years.
Wow.
And so what opportunity costs, so the banks understand it perfectly, yet it seems like the banks, financial advisors, they're all the same. You know, that's a gross, that's kind of, I shouldn't make it one big label like that, but I mean, there really is not much separation between the what banks are and brokerages are today. I mean, financial advisors, banks, I'm just going to say banks, you know, the financial industry, but what seems like it's lost is that what the banks do so well and it makes them so profitable, understanding opportunity costs, the financial advisors, a lot of them don't do a great job explaining that to their clients. And what's important about opportunity costs to understand is that when you go, banks, when they're not lending, they're not making money. And on one of the podcasts I did where I was talking about the spread, it's the only way they make money. If they're not lending out that money and collecting interest back, it's not an asset to them, it's a liability.
Right.
And so what opportunity costs is that they know when they lend out that money that they have to charge interest. There's an opportunity cost to that money. They got to, so it's just, it's no different than if I don't want to go to the banks and get on my hands and knees and ask to borrow money from them, and I just want to go grab cash out of my mattress or some other savings or investment vehicle that's making me a return, I have to be willing to pay back what that money was going to make me.
Right.
That's an opportunity cost. And so if you take, like there's a common expression that's talked about in the financial industry, rule of 72. And have you ever heard of that, rule of 72?
No.
So essentially rule of 72 is that you want to understand how fast your money is going to double. So say you have 10 grand and you want to go, you know, if I put $10,000 into this investment, or if I put it into the savings vehicle, how long is it going to take at this interest rate for my money to double? And so the best way, it's not exact to this, but it's pretty close. And so it's known as the rule of 72, where if you have something that's, if you have 10 grand you put into investment, it's going to make you 10% internal rate of return every single year. You take that 72, divide it by 10, and you know in about 7 years, 7.2 years, that 10 grand is going to turn into 20 grand. That's rule of 72. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yep, it does.
So now if you have that exact same investment of 10 grand that you know in 7 years at 10% is going to double to 20 grand, and you go take that money today from that investment, Tammy, what's a really cool trip you like to go on that's going to cost you 10 grand?
Oh, I'd love to go to Belize.
Ooh, I want to go to Belize. I want to go to Belize. Belize, is, that's a great place to want to go. So Tammy, it's $10,000 to go to Belize today. 7 years from now, did it really just cost you 10 grand if you took that money from the investment that's going to turn into 20? Did that Belize trip cost you 10 grand?
Wow. I'm not sure.
And by the way, there's no wrong answer. Well, there is a wrong answer, but as long as you learn from the answer, it's not wrong.
So say it to me again. Ask me the question again.
It's $10,000 to go to Belize.
Right.
You take it from an investment that you know, based upon the rule of 72 at 10% interest, is going to be worth 20 grand 7 years from now.
Right.
So did your Belize trip, if you took it from that investment, that 10 grand, did that Belize trip cost you 10 grand?
Only if I don't pay it back.
It cost you 20 grand if you don't pay it back. So it's great to save. It's great to live within our means. Those are very important components. But one part that gets missed by a lot of the money people I hear talk or listen to in the past on radio shows and different, TV. One part that seems to be missed is they don't really talk about opportunity costs. So quite often people come into my office or meet me in a virtual setting, a virtual meeting. They'll say, I'll look at their financials and I'll ask them, I said, so do you save? Yeah, I save 5 grand a year. Great. So how long have you been doing that? I've been doing that for 5 years. But then I look what's in savings. I don't see 25 grand.
Right.
There's 5 grand. So they weren't really saving 5 grand a year. They were saving and then they were spending.
Right.
And so the part is that like when you save up and you've got 10 grand to go to Belize, but then you go take it out of that investment that's going to double in 7 years. If you don't pay it back, that trip costs you 20 grand. There's an opportunity cost to that money. And so what's so important to understand is that you have to account for that opportunity cost. So if you're creating your, it's banking, all it is they're making money off the spread. It's just a very smart system. It's a very smart process to handle other people's money, get in the way of how it flows, and literally make a 40-to-1 ratio. I mean, if they're handing out a whopping 0.10% to people in their savings account and they're making 4.1, I mean, they're making a 4,000% ROI on your money on the spread. They understand opportunity costs very well. And so if you want to cut them out of that equation, and you're going to start creating your own saving strategy, or you're going to create a bankosaurus designing, you know, I mean, the way I design these whole life policies, if it's the right fit, I mean, you have to account for opportunity costs. And so like the investment example, your Belize trip, if you don't pay back what was going to be making you 10% at least at 10%, you're not ahead, you're behind. That Belize trip didn't cost you 10 grand, it cost 20.
Right.
And once you understand that, once you understand that, and listeners and others, and it takes time to really get it. It's a very weird concept, but when I walk my clients through this and I help them and we grind through it, once you start acting, once you start getting it and then you start doing, then it all becomes like, it's just common sense. But it's just such a foreign concept at first. It's like, why would I pay back to myself my own money? I just took out an investment that's making me 10%. And it's because that 10 grand was worth 20, is worth 20 7 years from now. And so as long as you account for the opportunity costs and pay back, that's what I was referring to. And now you're getting it. Now you get to give yourself permission to go on an incredible trip to Belize. I'm going to add that for sure to my list, by the way. So thank you.
Absolutely.
My to-do list. It's something that forever, Spain and Belize, Maui have been forever, you know. So I got here, I'm like, I got to give myself permission to spend. I'm so not cheap. I'm so frugal. but, you know, what's so powerful is that once you get living within your mean, savings, opportunity costs, bankosaurus, the accounting for that opportunity costs with investments, now you're giving yourself, hey, I can go on this great trip to Belize, but I understand there's an opportunity cost of taking that 10 grand out of that 10% a year investment. And so I'm going to be willing to pay back at least at that rate when I get back. Now, not only do you have a great trip, but now it's guilt-free and you can live today and you can have a way wealthier tomorrow.
Right.
Completely independent of stock market, all that stuff. It's just the concept alone. Who knows what your 10% investment is? That's just an example, but it's a good example. And so I hope that helps explain opportunity cost. It could be 5%. I just really, 10 is kind of easy to take 72 and divide it by 10. So if it, obviously it was 5%, well, it would take 14 years for your money to double.
That actually really bleeds well into my next question, which is the payback concept. So we understand the opportunity cost. We understand what we're losing if we don't pay it back. So what would you say are the best practices for paying it back? Because we don't have some institutions sending us a bill, sending us a statement. How would you recommend we set ourselves a plan to pay back when we borrow against our bankosaurus?
Oh yeah. I mean, you borrow against your bankosaurus. What I do all the time, there's so many free calculators out there on the website. You know, my dream for my website is to have a really cool one for people to use. But it's just, I'm a huge believer in automation. Automate, automate, automate. So if you send me something in regular mail, good luck me paying that bill. But if I just hate opening mail, but if it's But all the different mechanisms, all the different banks out there have maybe different marketing terminology for it. But it's so cool with the banks how you can use bill pay. I don't want to ask you on the podcast, but the bank that you use, Tammy, what do they have for paying bills? Is it called bill pay?
Yeah, I think something like that. But yes, I do the online for sure.
Yeah, so you know what I mean by bill pay. What's so cool is they got such – this is where I love the banks. It's so fun that you can go on and you can schedule things and say, hey, I want it to stop paying after 24 months. And so what I do for myself all the time, I do this for all my clients, or people just, hey, can you help me out with this? I just say, hey, how do you want to pay this back? Do you want to go on your trip to Belize? And going back to, instead of it being you having your money in an investment making 10, let's just say it's your bank of source making 5. Now that number might be a little high, but just I want to be able to divide easier. And by the way, for sure, I said it's 7 years for your money to double at 10. Of course, it's 14 years for it to double at 5. It would take 14 years at 5%. But you would have to be willing to understand that opportunity cost, you got to pay it back. So if you go and borrow against the cash value in your bank of source, you got to be willing to pay that money back just based upon the fundamentals of understanding opportunity costs. And it's not just bank of source. It's anything out there that's where your money is making you more money. And when your money is making you more money in something like your whole life policy or something like your bank of source that's growing income tax free, it's like, okay, well, I'm willing to pay back the $10,000 Belize loan to myself. We'll just create a simple amortization schedule where you're saying, I'm going to pay this defined amount back at this amount of interest. So let's call it 5%. And based upon my budget, I can justify doing that at 200 a month. And then I'll run the calculator and say, okay, it's going to take X amount of months to pay back at 200 at this 5% interest rate. Or if you want to pay it back, even it has to be at least 5 if that investment's making you 5. If that investment or savings vehicle is making you 5 or 10, you have to be willing to at least pay it back at that rate. And so if it's 5%, great. We'll schedule it. You put it, here's your sheet, or here's what you generate on some free calculator on the website, and you go to your bank, and you just say, I'm willing to pay back to this account at X amount per month for X amount of months. And you set it, schedule it, and you forget it. It's done.
What I think is really cool about the calculator concept is that it proves yet again how much more control we have over this than if we were to borrow from the bank. Because we wouldn't choose the interest rate for sure. We wouldn't be able to choose the amount that we paid per month. And then, of course, the number of months would be also locked in.
Yeah, you go to borrow from a bank, they dictate the terms, don't they? If you go get a 5-year loan at 5%, that's what you pay at, whatever that comes out to. So say it's 25 grand at 5% over 5 years, is probably around a $550 a month payment, right?
Right.
That's me doing math in my head, but somewhere right around there, that $500, $550 threshold for a $25,000 loan for 60 months. And so, yeah, you have to make that payment every month. And if you don't, they're going to take the car.
Right.
Where if you're just going to and borrowing from yourself, whether it's taking money from a mattress or borrowing from your bank of source policy or plural version, I still didn't Google that, but I'm trusting you. Unfortunately, I do love math, and I like to argue I'm a really good engineer and a really great engineer of finance. But vocabulary, I'm limited. So bankasauri. So if you're going to borrow from your bankasauri, your plural version of bankasaurus, you got to pay it back. And I just went on a tangent there, but, it's nice that you get to dictate it. So for example, say there is a cash flow crunch, you're dictating the terms. And if you're just borrowing from yourself, oh my gosh, I can't make that $500 payment this month on the car back to myself, but I'm getting a huge bonus or significant bonus or extra cash flow next month. So I think I'll give myself permission, understanding I do have to pay it back, but I don't think I'm going to take the car back for myself and go sell it for half the price and some used car lot. And so what's so empowering about that, again, is financial freedom. You're controlling the movement of money. You're controlling that cash flow. And that all ties back to, yeah, opportunity costs and why I love, my Bankosaurus.
Or your Bankosauri.
Yeah, Bankosauri. Yeah, our family, there's Bankosauri. There's multiple policies because when you build these things, and I'll get into more of the design and fundamentals on future podcasts, but you're not limited to one. It's worked very well creating one for myself. And it's like, now we're going to get an additional Bankosaurus, so Bankosauri, and then we create one for my wife. And then you create one for your children. And then you create one with other people you have an invested interest in, like business partners. And so you can see how the money can multiply. And when you compound having something that's growing pretty fast as a savings vehicle over time, and you understand opportunity costs, you're going to have a way wealthier tomorrow and a lot sooner than later.
And options.
And a lot of options. Options are good. We're in such a free nation, aren't we?
Yeah.
Right? In this country, we have so many freedoms. And why I'm so passionate about teaching this is that it's also, I want people to have the financial freedom as well.
Right.
And that comes with seeing money and seeing things from a different light. And once you see it, it's really, really simple. And then what I do is I just help people take it to a next level. They do all the hard work, but when you see it just from a little bit different angle, it really, really makes sense. And then when it's fun is when you take math and financial calculators that prove it. Math does not lie.
Question number three, final question. Last podcast, we were talking about the Bankosaurus, and you mentioned something about income tax and how that connects to the Bankosaurus. Can you explain that?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you'll be amazed at this answer I get every single time. And it doesn't matter what side you're on when it comes to politics. Every person that has sat down and talked with me, and I don't mean just like physically in person, but virtually phone calls, webinars, I'll ask this question. If you had your choice, would you rather pay zero in income taxes or would you rather pay income tax or would you rather pay zero? So I'll ask you this, Tammy. Would you rather, if you had a choice, if you're making $10,000 a year, in passive income or whatever, your money's growing. If you had a choice, would you rather pay 0% income tax or would you rather pay 30% income tax on that growth?
You know, just to get your reaction, I wanted to say 30%, but I'm just going to have to say zero.
Thank you. You would get a reaction. I don't know where to have gone with that. It's like, well, you know, send it to me and then I'll send it to the IRS for you. Wink, wink.
Yeah, right.
So send it to me. If you take whole life insurance, there's so many different variations of permanent life insurance out there, and cash value is just what I love about whole life. It's just existed for so long. It's just so true. It's so proven. And what's great is that you design these things correctly. You know, the IRS got their fingers in it. I'll have to read a few. I don't have records in front of me. I believe it's sometime in the 80s they got their fingers into whole life insurance because the wealthiest of the wealth, very wealthy people were buying significant life insurance policies, literally just cutting a check for $1 million. And these things had immediate cash value and were growing income tax-free day one. And so the IRS created what's known as a 7-pay test. And they created what's known as a modified endowment contract. And so it's just fancy terms and rules, which I so dislike rules, but you have to abide by them, that if you put too much into something too quickly in regards to whole life insurance, it's going to create a taxable event. And then all this growth is, there's taxes on that growth. And so if you design your policy right, you create a Bankosaurus. That growth is income tax free. If you design it right and you handle it correctly.
Very cool. And obviously
And there's a, oh, sorry, I was just going to say, and you know, and that's a simplified answer. And that's why, you know, it took me 9 months of grinding through and studying and doing, you know, a lot. I mean, hundreds. That was my fun on weekends and evenings, is hundreds and hundreds of different scenarios. But I love that stuff. I love the numbers, but yeah, it's a simplified answer. But yeah, you design these things right, they will grow income tax free. And most people don't like paying income taxes. Shocker.
They don't want to pay 30%.
You know, if you don't want to pay income taxes, call me. If you do like paying income taxes, probably not the guy. Well, I can. Yeah. So anyway, I hope that makes sense on question number three.
Yep. And what I know, because I've seen it, is you can do a video for people and send them the video where they can see these calculators. You can actually put in numbers that they supply to you. So it's their numbers in a calculator and they can see how all this stuff works. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I found it's really helpful for me to educate, with video. You know, for me, I like reading, although it's amazing. It's so powerful, YouTube, and all this incredible content out there, and all the DIY channels. And so it's like, I love engineering, I love designing. And so you got all these guys and girls out there so skilled at woodworking. And so I found it's real helpful for me to do the same. The way I like to be educated, reading a video, I like doing the same. And so one way it's really fun is, again, with the numbers, is that, yeah, I'll use video to communicate and educate, to explain the design, the concept, the why, and the numbers behind it, and show how that there's everything. I mean, not just about not paying income taxes, but all those pieces.
Well, cool. Thank you for sharing more of your knowledge about Bankasori.
Yeah, Bankasori. I'll be really embarrassed if we've been saying that wrong these last two podcasts. But yeah, I mean, and obviously it's just a fun marketing term for something that it's something that's just so, it sounds so boring, whole life insurance. Man, does that sound boring. But it's such a horrible label when you realize that you build this thing correctly. And that's obviously where I come into play. I mean, I have clients East Coast, West Coast. I love educating them. There's a lot to it behind the scenes, but when you put these things together correctly, it's like, holy cow, this is one big piggy bank on steroids. This is one massive bankosaurus. And he starts off small, but then he just becomes this huge, fun, loving animal, beast, carrying your money wherever you go for the rest of your life, that's growing income tax free. And is something that provides not only something for you to live a way more enjoyable today and have a way wealthier tomorrow if you handle it all correctly, but then also something that for legacy planning, an incredible gift that you can pass on from generation to generation. Mm. More important than the money in the Bankasaurus or in the Bankasori, but the knowledge of how to handle that money comes with it. And that's all the stuff I love teaching, and you know, and so hopefully that's all coming through and people are getting a lot of value from this on the podcast. So I want questions coming from people. So more questions I get, I'm going to start addressing that on future podcasts. So, and your questions, your three were awesome and a very thorough answer, but I hope that all helps. I hope, yes. A thorough answer.
Yes.
I hope a thorough answer.
Yeah, I think so. We'll just call you the Bankasori professor.
Yeah, Bankasori. I like Bankasaurus, but thank you. Bankasori. I'm still nervous is not the right word, but thank you, Tammy. Well, engineer of finance, right?
You can call there me you
engineer
go.
Of finance. And so, but that's my fun story, at least two podcasts discussing the Bankasaurus. And I am sure we'll have more. So who knows what we'll talk about the next podcast. We'll see what comes in question-wise. We might have a Bankasaurus episode number three, or I will go on some tangent talking about something else. But hopefully we'll have a lot of good snippets here and there from everyone who's listening to learn. And if you guys want more, go to my website. Go to engineerfinance.com. Pick up the phone. Call me. I really love helping. And my office number, well, it's on my website, 775-624-8839. And I think that's pretty much for today. So,
excellent.
Tammy, thank you so much for being my co-host again. I really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
It's made something that seems so uncomfortable to me to actually have my voice on radio and podcasts. It's enabled me to share to, I hope, a lot of people something that I'm very, very passionate about. And so thank you for being my co-host. And do you want to wrap it up again, please, for me? Because you do such a great job.
I'd be happy to. All right. All you fans of the Engineer of Finance podcast, we'll be talking to Ken Green next, I'm sure soon. And I hope everyone has a great time listening and learns a lot of good stuff. Thank you so much for checking it out. And thanks to Ken Green, as always, for educating us on all these financial matters.
Thanks, Tammy. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.